It is time to bring in our good friends, David and Marcy from theberkshireedge.com. That's one place where you can go where you'll find updated information 24 hours a day on all the happenings in and around South County, Massachusetts, and of course, the latest full news coverage. That is theberkshireedge.com. And we get together once a week here on Robinhood Radio, also rebroadcasted on the weekend, and talk about just some of the many stories that they have. And we bid a good morning to both Marcy and David. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Marcy is, she's just.
There she is. Hello.
There she is.
Hello. I'm just looking for the... Okay. Hi.
From stage left. All right.
Good morning.
We're a little disorganized this morning.
All right. Now, I have to start off with a little comment on the first story we'll talk about. No, it's one of those stories that started off kind of... quiet and an idea, and now it's turned into a brouhaha, and that is the debate in Great Barrington on short-term rentals. And like most things that happen now in this country, you just can't have civil debate. People tend to get heated on either side. It is now the norm, and no matter what it is that seems to come before government, once again. There's debating going on. I guess that's a great New England and Northeast tradition, but
it is. And that's what I always liked about the town meeting form of government, for example, that people really are encouraged to speak up. It's not just government officials, even if they're elected, just operating independently. I mean, the townspeople have every right to speak up and participate, and that's a New England tradition,
Right, and we are finding that you're talking about the short-term rental debate in Great Barrington, and it's we both think it's wonderful that this kind of conversation is going on. And that, there have been people testifying at every meeting that the select board has had over this issue. I mean, just to go back, I think we've spoken about this before, but one of our select board members, Lee Davis, has proposed to restrict short-term rentals to allow only people who live in the house to use it as an Airbnb or a short-term rental, that she would prefer that people not just buy houses in order to turn them into short-term rentals, because...
That's the debate. That's the debate going on in Great Barrington, right.
Right. That, it's one thing to be able, people make the argument that you can't stop people from, trying to make money on their own houses, but... what she's saying is that there's a terrible shortage of housing in the Berkshires, and we shouldn't allow people to just buy houses for the purpose of...
For commercial reasons. And it drives up the prices, too.
It drives up the prices, makes them unavailable, and it ruins neighborhoods if, half the houses on the street are really functioning as hotels and not homes.
What's interesting about what you're saying is here in Northwest Connecticut, a big problem isn't necessarily, there's short-term rental problems, but people buying houses that are $300,000 to $500,000 houses and then renovating them and very quickly turning around and flipping them and selling them for close to $1 million. And that also, when you add that in with the short-term rental, and I'm sure that's happening in South County
as
well.
Yeah.
And when you add those two things together, the housing market for normal people that make normal wages just about dries up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the problem.
And it has.
Well, that's one of the problems.
And also, it's not only that, but there are, the short-term rentals are very high priced. They're charging, $250 a night or something like that. And people who really need to rent a house can't find a rental that's reasonable, because why should somebody rent for $2,000 a month when they can get in 8 nights $2,000, and if they can get, you know, more nights than that, they will be making $4,000 or $5,000 a month on their home, since or more instead. And so, you know, people who are looking for employees, looking to bring people into the area, you know, to fill a job, there are no rentals.
Also, it changes the character of the neighborhood.
If it's a
rental neighborhood, you know, and a short-term rental neighborhood, and that's what people are arguing about.
Right. At any rate, the latest story, which you're referring to, is that it's now discovered that one of the select board members who has been most opposed to the... any restriction on short-term rentals, it turns out that his live-in girlfriend has a...
short-term rental.
Operates a house which she doesn't live in anymore. And that he actually lent her the money to pay for it. So he was a business partner
here.
Yeah. Now
in a short-term rental.
Now I must say that this select board member is a terrific select board member. I mean, he's been he's in his second or third term. He's a man who has a tremendous amount of energy and doesn't have another job or career, and so he has devoted an enormous amount of time to the betterment of the town of Great Barrington. So, I, for one, am certainly willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he's been so devoted and dedicated to his work as a select board member. But it is disturbing that, he's been the principal objector to the short-term rental
restrictions, right?
Yeah, and now it turns out that he has a conflict of interest.
Right.
So this is going to, his girlfriend is charging $264 a night for her house.
Short-term rentals.
This is a problem.
Not only affect people that are looking for housing, but tourism is a very big part of our area, and we have a lot of different well-established actual licensed bed and breakfasts and hotels,
right.
Hotels and motels, and they afford the opportunity for people to come to this area en masse. And you know what, the rules are different for hotels and motels and short-term rentals.
Yep.
And that seems a bit unfair to me.
Mm-hmm.
And the taxes are different.
Yeah. So it is a multifaceted problem. And you have, in addition to what we're talking about, your news stories, you also have a commentary by one of your writers as well.
Yes. We do.
That's
we
right.
have a commentary by Sheila Clary.
Who's one of our one of our great writers, actually.
Right.
She is really good. She has written a very thoughtful commentary on this. And what it actually means to the character of the town is what she's talking about. If, you know, neighborhoods become actually commercial neighborhoods rather than...
No.
And she lives in West Stockbridge, not Great Barrington.
Right.
Still, it's the same principle. And she's talking about what this proposal actually means.
Yeah. And it's all the things that we've said, you know. And she, she's saying that she heard recently about middle-income sellers who rejected a cash offer on their house and instead held out so they could sell it to a local family who'd be making the home their primary residence.
Right.
And this is, or a local lawyer who didn't charge her clients for the $2,500 worth of her time she'd spent preparing their closing because the deal felt fell through, and she refused to make, you know, make them pay a penny until they had a house to show for it. So, you know, she's talking about let's remember, you know, that there are values beyond making as much money in real estate as possible.
Yeah, she calls this the Airbnbification of neighborhoods.
Right.
And she said it's, to quote hers, it's part of a larger sad story.
Yeah, right.
That is killing socioeconomically diverse communities. That's what she's concerned about. That it becomes a, you know, just a commercial area rather than a real neighborhood.
You don't want to stop people from being able to make money and to keep their houses.
I know. It's a tricky issue, isn't it?
It's a tricky issue, but then again, also, a lot of laws were passed in a lot of communities to allow accessory apartments so people could have their senior parents or grandparents live with them. I'm sure if you investigate 10 years after that that has been done, a lot of those senior apartments that were done as accessory apartments have become part of the B&B problem. So it's one of those vicious cycle stories. There's good and there's bad, and there's no one really individual to blame, but the system that tried to set up sometimes – Andrew Rohrbach, who was a representative here, said sometimes good laws turn bad.
They have unintended consequences.
That there's through no fault of anybody, things that seem to be a very good idea turn into something that's not such a good idea, and it's not one particular person's responsibility or problem that it happened. And this is one of the big problems that we face all throughout the tri-state region here.
Well, that's right, because, you know, we become more of a, rather than a residential community, we've become kind of like a vacation short-term community, like a seaside, it's like some of these seaside towns along the coast, you know, are virtually empty, like on the Cape, are virtually empty in the winter and fall and early spring, and are just jammed with, you know, tourists in the summer, and it's kind of like that.
We're very here.
People are very devoted to their town meeting and their sense of town meeting form of government and their sense of community, and if many of your houses and homes are actually occupied by transient folks, then you lose that sense of a community.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what is behind this, people wrestling with this, this movement. Yeah.
All right. I want to move on because we only have about 10 minutes left, you've got a story. And I've always found the Great Barrington Fire Department interesting. I don't know why, but I have. I remember when they used to be in their old headquarters and moved to their new headquarters.
They were right downtown, next to
the Mahawi Theater.
Yeah, and they've got a beautiful facility that was built years ago and still looks one thing about fire departments, they just...
Yeah, and but it was on a dead-end street. Yeah. You know, it's right next to the railroad embankment.
Yeah,
the old place.
The old place.
Yeah. So Terry Kelgill's got a story that he's written about this.
Oh yeah. Well, they now have a. It's a little history of the department that transitioned from, you know, a volunteer department. Well, you know, many towns. I'm sure your listeners know that in small towns, Great Barrington included, that they all started as volunteer fire departments. And, they didn't have necessarily any full-time firefighters. They had people who would be run when the bell rang and the sirens went off. They'd run to the firehouse, jump on the fire truck, and go to the fire.
Right.
But
which would usually mean that the house burned down.
Well, no, I mean, you know, but that assumed that people all lived pretty close to the fire trucks and the firehouse.
And also that they had the kind of work, like farmers and things, you know, that where they could...
Well, so that they could hear the actual sirens.
And
actually.
leave their jobs at a moment's notice to respond to the alarm.
So this is it's a transition that's been going on for years.
Right.
In any case, this is a little history of the fire department in Great Barrington.
And now it is now we have 20 paid firefighters, state-of-the-art building, and a fleet of emergency vehicles that includes a glistening million-dollar ladder truck.
Yes.
So, I mean, this is a conversation, really, between the fire chief and Mark Puhinsky, who is the Great Barrington town manager, and they had a virtual coffee, and they discussed the fire department, and the whole conversation, we have it, you know, a link to the whole conversation on YouTube in our article. So you can listen to the whole thing, or you can read Terry's interesting article about where the fire department is now. But now they have 3 full-time people and about 17 part-time people, so there's always somebody there.
Yeah.
And I know we had occasion to call our fire alarms went off at midnight. We couldn't figure out, we couldn't turn them off. It was driving us crazy, and we reluctantly called the fire department, and at midnight they showed up, and it turned out that one of our units was defective, and when one goes off, they all go off. So we had and so they came very nicely at midnight and fixed our fire alarm. So we were very appreciative that we weren't taking people out of bed. I mean, they were in the fire department, they're paid, and they're there.
Yeah.
So it makes a big difference.
All right. We've got a change of thoughts here, and that is a group of Great Barrington organizations coordinating an oral history of African American community in the Berkshires.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is really interesting. You know, we have a lively African American population that's been in the Berkshires for many, many years, and their stories are now being assembled, and so it's really a history of the African American community here. And of course, one of the most famous residents of Great Barrington years ago was W.E.B. Du Bois, who's a historian of African American experience in America,
and the founder of the NAACP.
And the founder of the NAACP actually lived here in Great Barrington, and in fact, one of the Lee Davis, the select board member of in Great Barrington, her father headed up the W.E.B. Du Bois Foundation in the NAACP for many years. So we have a history here.
Right, yes, right.
And I think this is an oral history collaborative is aiming to preserve these stories.
It's called Quilting Our History.
Quilting Our History, which is a nice name, isn't it?
Right, because people made quilts. And but they are, there are 3 organizations that sort of got together to do this. There is the Clinton Church Restoration Project. This is an effort in Great Barrington to restore the original Clinton AME Zion Church. That was such a lively church, 50 or 100 years ago. And now it was deteriorating and doesn't have a congregation, vibrant enough to be able to restore it. So it's being turned into a nonprofit which will celebrate the history of African Americans in the Berkshires. And the Berkshire County branch of the NAACP, and also then there's a third organization called the Housatonic Heritage Oral History Center at Berkshire Community College. And these three organizations have gotten together to do this oral history, and it, you know, it'll be, I'm sure, part of the organization, part of what's available at the Clinton Church when it's reorganized. But also, the Berkshire Museum in 2019 had a terrific exhibit called Their Stories, Oral Histories from the NAACP. Yeah. And they began documenting the stories of individual African Americans in the Berkshires. And so this will pick up where that left off and continue. So it's really terrific. You know, we've been having this ongoing debate over whether or not to put a statue of W.E.B. Du Bois in downtown Great Barrington, and also, you know, whether to name a school after him, which actually did happen. We now have the W.E.B. Du Bois Middle School. But, you know, it's been a long road to recognize W.E.B. Du Bois as an important, you know, member of the history of Great Barrington. He is our most famous local son.
All right. We only have about 4 minutes left, and I want to get into these next two stories. First of all, very quickly, the Housatonic Waterworks, once again, in, I hate to say this, hot water, but for the DEP, but it's true.
Oh, yes, they've been in hot water for...
Well, they were scalded, yes.
Well, now it's now it's boiling.
Environmental
protection.
So we could
say they've been scalded.
Well... We could have, but we didn't. We said scolded. In fact, they're threatened with fines and criminal prosecution unless they clean up their troubled the water system in Housatonic. You know, we've talked about this before, but at one point, you know, we all assume that you know, the water system is a public utility that is for the benefit of all citizens, but in these towns. But at one point, they were privately owned, and that is still the case in Housatonic, or it was, and it's owned by a private water company, and they have trouble maintaining using the revenues from the fees for using for the water. In maintaining the system, and that's the problem.
There aren't enough users.
There aren't enough users, and
money they need to spend to maintain it.
And it's an old system, and it needs upgrading.
Well, so at least there's movement on it right now. I want to.
We only
have about 2 minutes left, and I want to get into this story because I think this is a real good way to end. And that looks like it appears, and it only appears, that maybe that upgrade to Monument Mountain Regional High School. Might happen.
Might happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. We've been talking about this for many years, and it's possible that it. You know, it's an elaborate process of getting in line to get the state to fund such an upgrade, and but the stars may be aligning with the Massachusetts School Building Authority for Berkshire Hills Regional School District and Monument Mountain Regional High School complex to finally be in line to receive funding for a much needed upgrade. It's one of those projects, you know. You just have to, because you imagine you have a limited amount of funds statewide, and there are a lot of high schools in school buildings in Massachusetts who are all competing for that money.
And when your name comes up on that list, you want to be able to act on it.
You bet.
Well, yes.
And you want to be ready, yes.
And the last time we came up was in 2013 or 2005, I can't remember. But anyway, we were on the list and the town voted it down. There was a big misinformation campaign that, you know, because it requires a town contribution, you know.
And
a major town contribution.
Well, the trouble here is that it's a regional school, so all three towns that are part of the regional school district have to approve it.
Right.
And the other two towns, West Stockbridge and Stockbridge, approved it, but Great Barrington voted it down.
Because Great Barrington has the largest share, because it has the largest number of students, and
yeah,
it would have been expensive. But
well, that's still a good news way to end this edition of
right.
this broadcast.
Yeah.
These stories and,
yes.
and tons other, the BerkshireEdge.com.
Yes. Yes. Well, as you can see, I mean, we put up, you know, five or six new stories yeah. every day.
So
in the course of the week, we talk to you about, you know, five or six a week, but
yeah.
we've got 30.
Yep. There's the archival history as well. That is
That's
the,
right.
the BerkshireEdge.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, Marshall. Have a good week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
The BerkshireEdge.com, once again, on the web is where you'll find them.